Hey, it's Anna Sale, and I want to thank you for listening to Death, Sex, and Money, where I explore the big questions and hard choices that are often left out of polite conversation. You can hear new episodes ad-free every week on Amazon Music, where you can find Death, Sex, and Money and all of your Slate favorites without the ads.
Hi, this is Dahlia Lithwick, host of Slate's legal podcast, Amicus. If you're listening to this show, you might be interested in Amicus's live show that we're hosting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, May the 14th. My colleague, Mark Joseph Stern, and I will be talking to some amazing guests, including Sherrilyn Ifill and a sitting state Supreme Court justice, all about how originalism, a relatively recently invented way of interpreting the Constitution, has taken over the Supreme Court and radically reshaped the law. It's been doctrinal rocket fuel for the conservative legal movement and facilitated the rolling back of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and the obliteration of the separation of church and state. And as another wildly consequential Supreme Court term careers to its end, the court's originalists are on a tear. But there's something you can do about it, and we hope you'll join us in D.C. on May 14th to explore the possible pathways out of the current situation. Go to slate.com/amicuslive for tickets.
It's been a weird week here at Death, Sex, and Money. Over the weekend, John Hockenberry, the former host of another show here at WNYC called The Takeaway, was accused of a pattern of sexual misconduct and bullying of his coworkers. He allegedly forcibly kissed two women producers at his show. This was brought to light by a writer named Suki Kim at New York Magazine. Suki also reported how, over John's 9 years at The Takeaway, three of his co-hosts, all women of color, left due to his hostile behavior. There's a link to Suki's story, which includes a statement from John at deathsexmoney.org. He did not deny the allegations and said, "I have no excuses." John left The Takeaway in August, but most of this was not public until now. I worked at The Takeaway for 2 years. It was my first job in New York City back in 2009. After I read this story, I reached out to a friend and former coworker on the show, Noelle King.
Hi there.
Hi, Noelle. Noelle's now a correspondent for NPR's Planet Money, but in this conversation, she's not talking on behalf of NPR. When we worked together, she and I both knew about John's bullying behavior.
A lot of people now are asking why we never said anything, why we never reported it to our supervisors, and why it was allowed to go on for so long. And I've been asking myself the same question. I've been asking myself the same question for 2 weeks now. I was there for 3.5 years. Why didn't I say anything?
Yeah. I mean, I have been feeling so sad that I thought this was normal.
Well, we were told that it was normal. I mean, that was the advice I was given from the day I started. And I remember it being understood, if not explicitly said. John is a genius, and as a genius, his moods can be... he can be very temperamental. His moods can be pretty wild. And it's your job to make him happy.
I was 29 when I started on the show. Noelle was 26 when she started. So there was a lot we just didn't question. And there was a lot we didn't know until this new reporting.
I went outside and I cried in the street and I cried in the laundromat and I cried in the bodega and I cried because they were women, some of them named and some of them not, saying that they didn't report these things, they didn't report forced kissing because they thought that they were going to be sent elsewhere to other shows. And so I was heartbroken. And then I got to the part about the three co-hosts, the three black women, the three women of color who left the show. And that was where I became really enraged. I can't tell you how angry I am because I can't cuss on your show.
You can, but maybe you're choosing not to. But Noelle, the thing that I have been thinking about also with this particular story, I mean, there have been so many stories now about sexual misconduct in the workplace in particular, whether it's in politics and media and academia and on. And in this particular case, John Hockenberry is no longer in his job. So focusing rage there on that idea, you can't put it there. His contract was not renewed this summer. And where are you putting your rage?
I'm angry at John, but I've realized I'm not angry at John on my own behalf. I'm angry about what he did to my friends and colleagues. So there's that. I threw a couple dishes at the wall this weekend. So
really?
Really. Some of my rage I've turned on myself, because part of me wants to go back in time and tell my 26-year-old self, like, you're going to need to toughen up and you're going to need to say something. You're going to need to tell people that this is going on. And a lot of my rage is focused at a system. And this is the frustrating part. I'm focusing my rage on a system that allowed three women of color to walk out the door. And apparently nobody said something is wrong here. I mean, I don't know is the answer. I don't know what to do with this anger. I really don't.
I do think it's important to reflect back that rage to each other. I think that in itself is meaningful, to just say, are you feeling angry? And to hear back, yeah, I'm feeling angry. So here's what we're going to do. We've actually been inspired by this new podcast called For a Bad Time Call. It's produced by these two women radio producers, Claire Roth and Anne Jacquinet. And they have just put up a phone number noticing this cultural moment and said, we want to be a place where women can just call in and tell us what they're angry about. And that's what the first two podcast episodes are so far. It's just women being angry. And with inspiration from them, we want to ask all of you Death, Sex, and Money listeners, to record a voice memo with your 30 seconds of workplace rage, whether it's something that you are continuing to put up with and you're angry about, or something you want to tell your former self that it's just not okay, or it's advice that you want to share with anyone who's working in a workplace that doesn't feel safe. Record your 30 seconds and keep it short, because I think there are going to be a lot of them, but let your rage fly. Because I think something that's really important that's happening in this moment is we are reflecting our anger back towards one another, and that is giving more and more of us courage to say, oh, that thing that we put up with, it was just not worth it. Here's an example from me, Noelle. Here's my 30-second moment of rage. Here's what I wish I could tell my former self. I wish I could say, when you get that email that makes you feel uncomfortable and you can't say why, when that G-chat came on your window and you couldn't quite pin down what was wrong with it, you copy and paste that and you put that in your Google Doc where you're collecting all of those that say things that made me feel uncomfortable. And then that is your start to showing yourself and perhaps showing someone else later on that there's a pattern of something that's not right. Do you have a 30-second moment of rage, Noelle?
Yeah, there's one thing I've learned about being angry, which is just tell people what happened. That's what I've done ever since the takeaway. Oddly enough, I thought about it today. Ever since then, if someone bullies me at work and I'm really angry, I sit on it for 24 hours, and then I go to that person and I say, I don't think you should have talked to me that way. Don't do it again. But I don't just do that. I then tell my colleagues what happened. Then I tell my family what happened. I tell my brother and sister, you know, somebody at work screamed at me in a way that was unprofessional. And then I don't feel like I'm by myself. Other people know, and it's not a big secret. And I wish these sorts of things shouldn't be secret. I think we've all learned that. No more secrets.
Can I do another one?
Yeah. Yeah.
This one makes me really mad to say out loud. And I think it's about what I've learned since leaving the takeaway. Work can be a really, really empowering place, and it can be really important and meaningful. And if you don't feel safe where you're working, stop and look around and ask, who is making it so? Because work can be, work's important, Noelle. We all gotta work.
Yeah, we all gotta work.
We all got to work.
We all got to work.
And we can do better making each other feel safe. So that is your assignment, all of you. your 30 second of rage, your 30 seconds of workplace rage, record a voice memo and send it to us at deathsexmoney@wnyc.org. And I want to be clear, this is not just for women. This is for anyone who has been harassed or bullied on the job. I think a lot of us have these stories. Again, the email, deathsexmoney@wnyc.org. Thank you, Noelle, for being a place where I can have my anger reflected back to me. And thank you for telling me about how you've personally processed a lot of this painful reporting.
You're welcome. It was really good to talk to you, Anna.
I love you, Noelle.
I love you back.
I want to thank you for listening and for all your support as we at Death, Sex, and Money have made our move to Slate. Your stories, voice memos, and emails have meant so much to the team. As part of this transition, there's a new way to support our show financially at Slate, our new home, and you'll get something special in return. Subscribe to Slate Plus, and you'll not only support our work on Death, Sex, and Money, you'll get access to new benefits, including listening to us and all of the other great shows Slate makes, like Slow Burn and Decoder Ring, without any ads or sponsor breaks. To subscribe, just click Try Free at the top of the Death, Sex, and Money show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/DSM+ to get access wherever you listen. Thanks.